garden party to reminisce with my old friends. A chance to share old memories. Play our songs again.
News Radio 92.3. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And yes, it's time for the Garden Line with our host, Mike Wiggins. If you have a comment or a text, it's springtime for gardening, 850-437-1620. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. And that's Ricky Nelson's second visit to the studio.
I just love that song. He was like it. He likes it with you.
He likes it here.
Yes, but it's a garden party with you when you're here. I always look forward to this show.
I hear you.
Yeah, I love it.
How you doing, Meg?
I'm in pretty good spirits. Good. We just talked about a bunch of movies on
the
Andrew's show.
We did.
That was so fun.
And I had my
what was yours?
I had a couple. I always enjoyed The Godfather. I
thought that's the whole series. Yeah, that's a good one.
The first one, especially, because right. I remember where I saw it. I was in the front row of the theater when I went to see it.
Oh, man.
You know, we were all young then.
Yes.
And it was quite the show.
At the time, was shocking. Everybody was so shocked.
Absolutely.
With the horse, all that.
It was fun.
That was something.
Absolutely. But anyway, y'all had a great discussion.
It was fun.
That was fun, no doubt about it. We need to do a couple things today. Number one, we need to talk to the folks who are listening on via text.
Yes, please
or phone,
text in 850-437-1620.
We'd love to hear from you. And we need to continue our discussion about choosing a type of grass to put into your landscaping. We hit a couple of them last time. We got a couple more to go. And then we have a little checklist for spring.
Okay, good.
We need to kind of go through, and we may not finish it today, but we'll...
All right, well, let's get started.
We'll continue on. we always seem to, I don't know, I guess it's just because the weather dictates what we do, to talk about the weather we're having.
Mm-hmm.
It's just glorious.
It's
a beautiful day. And what we're seeing is a gradual move into summer.
Mm-hmm.
Into spring and into late spring. And that's exactly what not only we need, but also our landscaping, our plants, and our turf. They like that gradual coming in. You don't want to have freezing weather, then 80 degrees the next week.
Right.
Let's kind of ease into it, because all our plants prefer that, and I think they do much, much better.
Do you think we're going to get another freeze? Are we done with that, you think?
Well, remember that I looked into that, and I looked on my little computer, which, as I've told you 1,000 times, is older than I am, and I see nothing. I see nothing. I see a few, you know, there's some 40s,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of 40s, it's between 40s and 70s as we go into April, but I never even saw anything close to a frost or a freeze in the long-range forecast. Which probably means we'll get about a foot of snow.
and down
to single digits again. But I hope not. But I'll say this, Meg. I had to go to a couple of places around town this week, and dropped in on a few of the garden centers and just kind of see what's going on. Kind of get a few ideas for myself. Because there's some things that I need to replace. And I'll tell you right now, your garden centers are loaded. They are loaded. I am with tropicals, with vegetable plants, with blooming plants, annuals, and they just are beautiful. And, of course, it's just a little bit of rolling the dice to
mm-hmm.
go ahead and buy them and plant them. I'm going to do some. I'm going to do some. I've got, mainly for myself, I've got some of the tropicals that just didn't make it.
Mm.
My crotons, my hibiscus, my mandevilla. So I've got replace those. I'm old school. I'm kind of set in my ways. This pot takes that hibiscus in red.
That's right.
And I want it every year.
It has a name on it.
Yes. So anyway, but the selection is excellent. It is excellent now. So and if nothing else, just kind of go do a walkthrough, and you can kind of make your list and say, I want this, this, and this. But be careful. Be careful what you buy. You may see some things and say, oh, that looks so interesting. But just be sure that it's going to do well for us.
Mm.
As we get into our discussion, our checklist for spring, we may want to talk about especially some of the annuals that are basics. They're beautiful, but they're basics as opposed to something that may last 30 days and then you're not going to be able to enjoy it anymore.
Right.
So that's what you might want to do. But the point is, it's springtime. It's a glorious time of the year. And it's just fun trying to decide, what are you going to do with your landscaping? Are you going to kind of do like I'm doing, kind of set in your ways, this is the way it's going to be, or try something new. Try something new. Make a big new bed. Get a couple new pots. Do some of the vegetables you've never done before. And so that's just what makes this, makes this business fun. Gardening, as you know, technically and truthfully, is the number one hobby in America.
Really? I didn't know that.
It is.
I believe that.
It's the number one hobby in America. And we all do it for different reasons. We do it to make our homes look beautiful. Some of us do it for therapy.
It's great meditation. It's just to get lost in the dirt.
Oh, absolutely. So any event, it's a great hobby, and we hope we can add to it here on the Garden Line.
And speaking of dirt, you said you had mentioned to me that you wanted to go finish up the topic from last week regarding sod.
We did. Okay. Here's what we talked about last week, to recap real quickly. We looked at the different sod or grass types that are available and are best for Pensacola. Okay, we started out with St. Augustine,
mm-hmm.
talking about the different kinds, bitter blue and parsley, and we ended up at one that is really available nowadays is called Classic St. Augustine. It's your basic St. Augustine. A lot of people like it. I love it. My yard is St. Augustine. But we all who have St. Augustine have problems, and that's the fungus and the bugs and the chinch bugs and that type of thing. So we talked about all those problems, the disadvantages, but the advantages of St. Augustine also. So if you're not going to do St. Augustine, then we went into really one of the most popular grasses around nowadays is the zoysia.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, we used we looked at all the different varieties, but one that is readily available generally this year, I hope it's the same, is Palisades.
Palisades is a
good-looking zoysia grass. You mow it a little closer. The only disadvantage to that zoysia that I can see at this point is zoysia generally in the spring comes out a little slower than some of your other grasses, and in the fall goes into dormancy a little quicker. Now, this year, who knows? But historically, that has kind of been the case. But so zoysia was one we talked about. The one we did not get the chance to talk about, we ran out of time, was centipede. So there are a few things about centipede. Centipede grass is a nice-looking grass. It doesn't have the dark green look that St. Augustine and zoysia have, a little lighter green. It's a native grass. In other words, St. Augustine and Palisades, you need to adjust the pH of the soil. For St. Augustine and Palisades, you need to adjust the pH of the soil, the acidity of the soil. St. Augustine and zoysia are kind of like a neutral pH, which if you're looking for a number, that's about 6.
Mm-hmm.
That number doesn't mean much, but if your pH is at 6 or above, you're good. If it's not, you need to add lime, and we're going to talk more about that later. But that's what you do for St. Augustine and zoysia. Now, for centipede, it likes acid soil.
Okay.
And keep in mind, acid soil is just what we have in northwest Florida. Centipede likes it. Azaleas and camellias like it. And that's one reason you've got Bellingraph Gardens. Because of the soil we have here.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it thrives over there. So, in any event, centipede does not need lime. But here are a couple of things about it. And I tell you what, let's do. I'm going to run down my little list of the things about centipede, but why don't we take a quick break?
Perfect. Okay.
And then we'll get back to centipede grass.
All right. You're listening to Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins and the Garden Line. If you've got a question or a comment about gardening, 850-437-1620. And like Mike said, we'll be back right after the break. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and we have Mike Wiggins here with us on the Garden Line. Phone's ringing off the hook, and Mike, Sherry is on the line. She's got a question about centipede grass. Hi, Sherry. You're on the air.
Good morning. I have a quick question. My husband and I just put down a pallet of centipede. We took out some bushes that were getting a little out of control, but he likes to put lime down every year. Because we were with the understanding that it helps the weed and feed get accepted better into the ground. Is there any truth to that? And is there anything that we can do with our centipede that might help it along?
Well, here's the deal. As we just said, if you had St. Augustine or zoysia grass, lime is a great idea. Now, the only way you can tell with those two grasses if you really need lime is with a soil test. Now, centipede likes our acid soil. So really putting lime on centipede grass is really just the opposite of one should do. So I would not do that. But your husband's right. If, for example, you have St. Augustine grass and you put the lime on it, golly, for lack of a scientific explanation, it unlocks the system and allows that grass to accept the nutrients that you apply. But centipede doesn't want that. Matter of fact, this, the one good thing about centipede is it's lower maintenance. You don't need lime. And one thing you don't need that those other two grasses do is a real nice nitrogen shot in midsummer. Put on a strong nitrogen in midsummer. Centipede, not really. A lot of people just put on a granular iron on centipede midsummer or put nothing at all and then just do the winterizer fertilizer in the fall. So basically, centipede is a much lower maintenance grass than the other two.
Okay.
So make a long story short, which is hard for me to do, I would not do the lime on the centipede.
All right. Does that answer your question, okay. Sherry?
Oh, Sherry. Hey, Sherry. Sherry.
Yep.
While you're there, while we're talking about that, you got just a second, Sherry? Two other hints and things about centipede. One, centipede does not take traffic very well, especially in the winter. In other words, if you've got a spot, I use an example in my own yard, where you open your gate and you take your garbage can to the street twice a week, and if you have centipede in the wintertime, in the spring when the grass comes out, you may find you've got a grass that has been reduced in those areas where you walked in the winter. It just doesn't take traffic as well as some other grasses. And the books will tell you, and I have sometimes found this not to be true, that centipede's lifespan, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, it's there. The lifespan is there. After that, when it starts coming out of dormancy in the spring, you may find some very weak spots in your centipede. The good thing about centipede, the chinch bugs don't like it. The sod webworms don't really like it. And so you've got good and bad with centipede. And for those on a budget, centipede is a little bit less expensive than your other two. So that's kind of my story on centipede. And I really appreciate you asking your question. It kind of enabled us to...
Can I ask one more question then?
Keep going.
Can I ask one more question? Besides the fact that the centipede has a lifespan of maybe 10 years, we've lived in the house for 20, and we're noticing, like, on different parts of the yard, like, there's no grass in the winter time or in the fall. It kind of grows into, like, it looks like little veins all through the dirt. Is that the old centipede?
I would think it easily could be, yes. Yes, it could be.
Like dead grass veins, yeah.
Yeah, I think.
So if we threw different centipede on there, would that help?
No, I'd just let it do its thing. Centipede grass, unlike zoysia or St. Augustine, there's, in my opinion, there's just one variety, centipede. There's not different varieties that you would want to put in there. But if you've got a centipede lawn that's doing pretty good, you probably do not want to change varieties. Probably just, plug in those spots with regular centipede. That's what I would do.
Regular centipede, yeah. We had quite the yard grass salad when we first moved in. So we appreciate it. And I listen to you whenever I can. You guys have a great day.
Thank you for calling us. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. You have another one over there, Meg. What's going on the phone?
Yes, we have another caller. Mike, are you there? Mark, are you there?
Mark.
Can you hear us, Mark?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, you're live on the air on News Radio 92.3 with Mike Wiggins in the Garden Line. Go ahead with your question.
Morning, Mr. Mayor.
Mark, good morning.
I hate to beat the centipede subject to death.
No, that's quite all right.
We have some centipede that was put down by the builder, and it's probably 50, 60 days. I was just wondering if I should do any fertilizer since it's that new, or any weed and feed or anything.
No, weed and feed, no. We here on the garden line, as you know, Mark, if you listen to us, we don't recommend that at all. But yes, you'll need to fertilize it. Now, this kind of goes for all the grasses, quite frankly, Zoysia, St. Augustine, centipede. We many times do it too early, and we've been talking about that over the last couple of weeks. I would wait at least until April and then use a good 1608, 2244, something with a higher first number. That's nitrogen. The other two numbers, quite frankly, don't make much difference in the spring. All fertilizers have three numbers. In any event, I would go ahead and fertilize it in April for sure. I like that 1608. I just think that's a great fertilizer for centipede. But, yes, that's exactly what I would do. And, of course, mow it high. You don't have to mow it quite as high as St. Augustine, but I would at least go 3 inches. Never, ever scalp it. Never go lower than that, no matter what time of year. I would hold off on the weed, being such a new grass, I think I would hold off on the weed killer until almost next year, but maybe next fall. And that's how I would handle that.
Okay. All right. We've got a bunch of... All right. Thank you so much for Mark for calling in.
This is not Mark's first time, and I appreciate
it. Okay.
He's been a good friend of our show. We appreciate him.
All right. Have a great day, Mark. Thanks for calling in. You're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. It's The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be back. I think we've got a few more texts in about centipede, Mike, so keep your hat on.
Hang on.
News Radio 92.3. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg and The Garden Line with host Mike Wiggins. Getting lots of questions here about centipede, grass, and soil and seeding.
It's an exciting subject.
I'm telling you. Okay, let's see. We had one that wanted to know where and how can we get our lawn and soil tested?
That's a great idea. Great question. The Escambia County Extension Service is a good place to go. It's out on Stefani Road. That's a part of the IFAS system through the University of Florida. And what you need to do if you're going to get a soil test, just get a couple of plugs of grass, have plenty of soil, and you can take it up there. And there's a form to fill out that tells what kind of grass you have and other questions. And they send it off, and then you can get it back, and it'll tell you how much lime you need and exactly how many square foot you need to put it out. But that's a good way to do it. Another way to do it is our friends at Werner Turf have a program called soil testing. And they have a very sophisticated program which will tell you so much about your turf. So check in with Werner Turf. If you live in the city, of course, that's closer than getting out on 9 Mile Road and Symphony Road. But if you live up north, you might check the Extension Service. So those are two good places to go to get your soil tested.
Okay. Kind of along that lines, we have another text that came in. I live near Perdido Key, and we'll be moving out of my rental house later this year. My yard is a wreck from dogs. What's some good seed I can put down that will hold up for dogs and will still do well, so especially in the darker sandy soil?
That's a tough one.
That's a tough question.
First of all, you got to look at what kind of seed one could plant in Pensacola. And really the only seed for a permanent lawn in Pensacola is centipede seed. And there's a whole way to do it that is, I don't want to say complicated, but some numerous steps you need to take in order to get a good centipede yard going, which sometimes the experts, I read an article the other day about seeding with centipede, said you really expect 3 years to get it really going right. If you've got dogs, and I don't think, in my opinion, and they are out in the yard and have caused problems before, I'm not sure that's what we need to plant centipede seed. But let's pursue that question just a little bit more when we get back.
Who knew centipede grass would be the hot topic? Getting all kinds of texts. 850-437-1620. We'll be back this morning after the news on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, with Mike Wiggins in the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. We'll be back in just a minute. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg and our host, the expert on gardening, landscaping, and centipede grass.
Centipede grass.
Mike Wiggins.
The word of the day.
Yes, sir.
Centipede
so
grass.
Much. We had a couple things, but we're going to go back to that, right? But you wanted to mention
One thing real quick. I got a nice text from Catherine talking about the Camellia show that was recently held. Said it was very small. She didn't say very small. Said it was kind of small. But two local winners, Mrs. Vincent won 3 awards, and Mrs. Elabash won 2 ribbons.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
And we know those folks. Congratulations. That is great.
Well, we are
a camellia-growing community, and now is the time.
I'm seeing them.
And one quick comment. We kind of got rained out on the visit out to University of West Florida to the Camellia Garden. So there's nothing formal going on, but if you get a chance, drive out there and look at the Camellia Garden, especially this time of year. It's beautiful. Okay.
And real quick, I want to mention we did get a text from Karen. She is with the Pensacola Federation of Garden Clubs, and today is the preview night for their annual tour of tables from 5 to 7 at the Garden Center, which is at 1850 North 9th Avenue. Tickets for the preview are $10. She says there'll be tables decorated around the theme of the world of celebrations. And there will be hors d'oeuvres, and they'll have a circle that'll also have wine available for sale by the glass. So come and get close some ideas for your entertaining. So thanks, Karen, for updating us on that. And that is tonight from 5 to 7 at the Garden Center.
Hope folks will go.
Sounds nice. Okay.
Very good. Where are we going? Centipede grass. Okay.
So let me see if I can now find that text from our friend who was talking about how she takes care of centipede grass. So hang on a minute now. I got to get back to... Okay. Here you go. I'm not sure who this is from, but she sent in a text saying, I don't know if anyone else ever does this for centipede. The way I keep my centipede thick and looking pretty is to... let it seed out in August and September, and then cut it when it's dry, but I always make sure to water it in. I've also noticed a lot of people who have centipedes cut way too low, and that's what ruins it. Then the weeds start. He or she also says, I also don't mind the weeds in the spring. I loved that we don't mow in March. The no-mow March idea for our area. I have lots of... bees visiting right now. And then she put a sweet note. I love your show, Mike.
Well, thank you very much. Going to the no mow in March, that is a movement out there.
Okay.
Because it helps with the pollinators.
Uh-huh.
And it's a nice way to do it. I always say I kind of like to follow the one rule, I think, for a healthy lawn. Keep in mind, our texter there knows what she's doing.
Yes, no doubt about it.
My advice to her is
keep doing
whatever you're doing, keep doing it. But, if you, depending on the weather and how fast your grass comes out of dormancy, I never like to cut off more than a third of the blade of grass when you mow. Now, that's basically a problem we have in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the grass grows, you go on 2 weeks vacation, you come back, it's 6 to 7 inches high. And if you kind of cut it way back to where you normally cut it, sometimes it can brown out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the no-mow March is interesting. Insofar as a lot of people are doing that, and I applaud that. I really do. I think it's a great way to do it. I cut mine, but I keep it. I keep my mower. We're talking St. Augustine here, but if you were talking centipede, you would have your mower at about 3 inches, and you would never, ever deviate from that. I don't care if it's in spring, fall, winter, never go lower, because she's right. As soon as you start mowing it too low, it opens it up, the weeds come to take charge, and you can, I don't want to be too dramatic here, but we're talking centipede grass, but if you continue to scalp it, you can lose your yard. You really can. So you just don't want to do that. Continue to mow it at that higher level. Now, middle of the summer, especially St. Augustine, for example, is a good example. You can mow it on Saturday at 4 inches, and by Wednesday or Thursday, it's looking a little ragged. But that's kind of the price you pay for mowing it high. But it sure makes for a healthier lawn, no doubt about it.
Okay. Well, that's thank you so much, everybody that had texted or called in. We're moving on to another subject, I believe, sir.
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. We're going to finish up the turf real
okay,
quick.
Okay, finishing up turf.
Okay. I think we've talked about this before, but just very briefly. There are really three ways you can put in St. Augustine, zoysia, centipede, and that is by sodding, which we've been talking about, plugging, which if you've heard me discuss that, is not my favorite way to do it unless you've got a very small area you need to repair. Then you can buy the trays of plugs, put them in. But I think we talked about this last week. Don't put them too far apart. Put them real close, maybe on 5-inch centers. And the third way you can put grass in, which nobody does anymore that I can see, is to sprigget. Sprigget is when you buy St. Augustine sod and you take all the stolons off of it and put them individually in your yard.
Oh, my goodness. That must take a lot of time.
It used to be done. It used to be done way back in the day. But it is so labor intensive.
Yes.
Nobody's going to do that. Okay. And to finish up this discussion, two more quick types of grass. And we won't go long on them. One is Bermuda.
Mm-hmm.
You plant that here. There's
some, oh, really?
Different, oh, yes. I have a good friend who lives over on the east side near in Cordova Park, as a matter of fact, has a Bermuda lawn. He's had it for years. It's beautiful. But you've really got to take care of it. It takes proper mowing, proper fertilization. And a lot of people will say if you have Bermuda, you need a real mower versus a rotary mower, like they use on golf courses.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bermuda really is a golf course grass.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So if you are a homeowner like you and me,
mm-hmm.
Bermuda probably isn't for us. Unless you really want to dedicate your life to that lawn.
Not for this gardener, no.
and me either. Okay, the last one is bahia grass. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind that you don't really want to plant bahia grass because it just grows, it's kind of thin, but it sends up those long stalks. There are two types of Bermuda grass, Argentine bahia and Pensacola bahia.
Oh, really?
Pensacola bahia is the one that'll drive you crazy. It gets into your yard and you try to get rid of it. It's almost impossible. But it sends up the long stalk that you can almost watch it grow.
And wow.
Argentine isn't quite that bad. I've seen it used on some commercial.
Mm-hmm.
One of the high schools around here, when they built that high school, put in Argentine bahia. And it's a good grass. Very, very good with traffic. In other words, a lot of traffic on it's not going to really bother it. But those are all our grasses. St. Augustine, zoysia, centipede, Bermuda, and bahia. Golly, one more to answer the question from the lady a minute ago,
mm-hmm.
about what to do if she wanted to put a grass in with the dogs and all of that.
Right.
Well, the centipede is probably not going to work, but the other seed you can put out is winter rye.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you've got the dogs, put the winter rye out and say, October,
mm-hmm.
November,
mm-hmm.
and it'll last all the way into the spring. That would solve the problem on a temporary basis because ryegrass is annual ryegrass, which means it's there for 1 year, and the heat burns it up.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to do it again. So that's one solution to the sandy lawn with the dogs, but it doesn't cover 12 months out of the year.
Right. Okay. All right. I think we're done with grass and sod for the moment.
Well, but when we take a break, I'll think of something else.
He's got plenty on his list. Trust me. We'll be back. You're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Got a comment or a question? 850-437-1620. We'll be back right after the break. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Got tons of texts coming in, so we're going to do our best to try to answer all your questions. One of the first ones that came in, Mike, I want to put a division between my yard and the neighbors before the new people move in. I was thinking about crepe myrtles. Is there a better idea? And how far into the yard do I need to plant them?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the crepe myrtles is a really a good idea.
Yeah.
I have this question sometime before. if you've got a new neighbor. Now, if the new neighbor has already moved in.
It doesn't sound like they have yet, but go ahead. Okay.
You know, you got to be careful. You know, you say, oh, nice to have you in the neighborhood. I want to put up a wall.
Trees.
But the crepe myrtle is a great thing because that would help both landscapes, you know, your neighbors and yours. Yes, and how far to put them in? I would at least put them in, oh, I'm going to say 10 to 12 feet at least into your yard because obviously as they grow, you know, they're going to shed leaves and all of what crepe myrtles do into your neighbor's yard. So I would bring it into the yard just far enough, one, to kind of protect the neighbor, but also so it does look like it's a division between the two pieces of property. I'm not sure if that makes sense, mm-hmm. but you got to be careful. Got to be careful. You don't want to put it right on the property line, that's for sure. So move it in somewhat.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for the question. All right, we have two more grass questions. One, and we were talking about lawn grass, people. One more question about grass. I always love the short grass on golf courses. Is it possible to grow that in my yard? And how hard is that to maintain? And then the other grass question was they had planted ryegrass in the winter. And should they keep that going? Is that something they want to maintain? So
okay.
Let's do
the first one first. Oh, okay. And that's the golf course grass. Mm-hmm. They want a yard, you know, you see it on the golf course.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now that goes back to our discussion of lawn grasses. If you were going to be very technical about this, you'd put in Bermuda grass, very high maintenance, and I really don't recommend it. But zoysia can be just like a golf green.
Mm.
If you look around town at how zoysia has been doing, these varieties like Palisades, which are really pretty, and some golf courses will use zoysia because zoysia also has a very high tolerance to traffic.
Oh, that's smart,
But if you're going to put zoysia in, I say be sure you've got full sun. It really likes sun. And maintenance-wise, really, you fertilize it very similar to what you do with St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing really special. You may want to get your pH right and add a little lime, and you've got to mow it right. Now, keep in mind, Palisades, you're going to mow probably 2.5 inches. You're going to mow it lower than St. Augustine, but you don't want to scalp it either. But that's what I would recommend. I would go with the zoysia. I think that would, if all things being equal, especially irrigation, that's critical, it'll give you a golf green look, no doubt.
Okay. And then the other question was I put winter rye in for the winter, so I'm growing it into the spring and would like to lay something else. And any recommendations?
Well, you've got to lay something else because mm-hmm. you've got to tell that winter rye goodbye.
Okay.
As you get into May, that winter rye is going to burn up and you're going to have nothing but sand. There.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to kind of go back to what our discussion has been, Meg, over the last couple of weeks, is picking the lawn grass that you want. You know, I would say if you're going to go with probably one of the most popular right now is the zoysia.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and sod with the zoysia. That's a permanent grass. And once again, if you're kind of on a budget and want a good-looking grass that's native, go with your centipede.
Okay.
Sure. I would go with one of those two. Both are going to give you good grass. And you don't have to do your winter rye anymore, unless you like the looks of the winter rye, which does give you green during the winter. But, you know, the one disadvantage to that winter rye, you got to mow it.
Okay.
Most of us put the lawnmower up right. in the winter and glad to do that.
Okay.
So that's how I would handle that.
Okay, great questions. We got one more. Now, this changes the subject a bit. It says, hey, Mike, this is Steve from Jay and of the Jay area. I planted the wrong box shoe peaches one too many times. My question is to you, Mike, what is the very best peach tree to grow in our area, and do I need to pair it to pollinate it?
To answer the last part of that, yes, I would plant two.
Okay.
No matter what you're doing. And here's what we've got to talk about, kind of refresh ourselves, what we talked about last week. About chill hours.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to plant a peach tree that has proper chill hours. When you go to your nursery and say, I want a variety that will take chill hours in the 500 to 700 hours, chill hours every winter.
Okay.
Keep in mind that a lot of the peaches that grow, say, up in Georgia will have over 1,000 chill hours.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to pick those fruit trees that fit our area. Some names that come to my mind, there's a Florida peach, a Gulf peach, those are two. But I would certainly ask either the Extension Service or your local nursery, which peach tree can they sell me that has the right chill hours? Because if you have that, you're probably going to be successful.
And Mike gives a great explanation of the chill hours in last week's show, which if you want to re-listen to it, the podcast is available on our newsradio923.com website under The Garden Line. And we put all these shows are put there so you can re-listen to them.
And okay, here's your test on chill hours. You ready, Meg?
Oh, no.
Okay. How many chill hours do they have in Miami?
A million. No, zero.
There you go.
The other way. I was thinking the other way. Okay. All right,
I'm gonna say, if you said a million, I was just teasing. Maybe we need to go back.
No, zero. I got it. But up in like Burlington, Vermont, it's going to be a million, right?
Oh, I know. Okay, maybe not a million, but it'll be a bunch.
All right. On that note, we'll be back in just a couple minutes with The Garden Line on Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and it's The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, our expert on gardening. We had a comment on the dividing property that came in.
Exactly. I think one of the comments we just got on the text line is what could one plant along the property line to divide? There are all kind of plants that you can use, but one suggestion that came via text was Clearia japonica. I love Clearia japonica. I have it in front of my house.
Okay.
I have it on the side of my house. Clearia japonica is a relatively slow-growing hedge, kind of reddish burgundy leaves, green for the most part, but have a little reddish blush to them, and you can keep them low. I've had mine for years, and have kept them at about 3 feet right below the sill, windowsill level. And they do perfect here in Pensacola.
Oh, good.
They really have no problems whatsoever. So it is a great plant, because if you're going to divide plant when your new neighbor comes, at least it's a low hedge and you can
adjust accordingly.
Talk to your neighbor over the hedge.
If you like them.
As opposed to planting Ligustrum or Iliagnus or something like that where, no.
Oh, my goodness. No, okay. We only have about a minute left, sir. So you want to mention Catherine's?
Yeah, Catherine. Well, Catherine, thanks for letting us know about the West Florida propagating show they're going to have. April 5th, 9 till noon.
At UWF.
They're going to teach people how to propagate camellias, how to reproduce them, and it's a real talent to do that, and you need to go see and learn what it's fun to do. So, Catherine, thank you as always, and Meg, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. You're the best.
It's been a centipede kind of show.
It sure has, but it's been a great one, and it's a great one because y'all texted in and called, and we really appreciate that. So we'll be back again next week on Tuesday with The Garden Line.
Let's do spring color next week.
Oh,
what do you think?
Fun. Yes.
Let's
okay.
Do it. All right.